नमो सन्यादा सुनीति टॉपिक सेंटेंस राम तो उन्हाँ के राम उद्योग और उसी साथ इस पूर्ण बोध फर्स्ट डी फ्रंट लो फर्स्ट सर तारुण जोगन लीडर्स द फोरानर्स The Shah of the Zisab, etc., etc. Mona Qasim Sat Narupi Rahmatullahi. Furthermore, Tami Sat Rahmatullahi. Shahul Islam, Mona Hussain Ahmad Madani Sat Rahmatullahi. They call us one and the same. حضرت مغازی رحمۃ گیلانی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ ہیڈ کرسچن حضرت شیخ الہند رحمۃ اللہ علیہ واٹ واز دا پرپز آف دا فاؤنڈنگ آف دارالعلوم دیوبند اوبیسلی دس ناؤ آفٹر سی 60 ایئرس 67 اوڈ ایئرس آفٹر مدرسہ واز فاؤنڈنگ دس واز بینگ ڈسکسڈ امنگس دا استادز امنگس دا اسٹوڈنٹس What was the actual purpose? So if you know the goal, then we know how to align ourselves. But if we don't know the goal, then each one takes his own way. Number two is that apart from knowing the goal, then to remain on that line, not to swerve from that line, is also important. And this you will see quite regularly in the Tablighi Jamaat. So one is the Jamaat one that takes things regularly. Then ask yourself, why do they have this old locus jor? Ulama's jor, why do they have it? They have it so that they can remain on the same line. They don't move away from that line. Otherwise, Shaitan is not dead. And we are not Anbiya. That we are masoom, whatever we say must be right. So this old workers' jor is conducted so that we come back on the line. Some may have a slight deviation to the right, to the left, to bring them back onto the right. So this talab and this yearning to be on the right and to be on the way of the elders. Why the elders? The hadith speaks about following the Sahaba Ikram. خير القرون قرني ذرافه التابعين تبع التابعين this goes on so it will seem that every coming generation it followed the previous generation so when we study our qabir we find them to be the closest to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam closest they're strong they're firm and didn't deviate on this side or the other Around the 1910s, when Darul was making a lot of progress, coming to the limelight, a hefty sum of money was given to Hafiz Ahmad Sahib. Hafiz Ahmad Sahib is the father of the Kharitev Sahib. He was the son of Mua Qasim Sahib, Maruti Rahmatullahi, very popular for his bayans, etc., etc. And then it was brought into the discussion that this is what has happened. And the money was returned entirely, complete. But now, today you're going to accept them, tomorrow you allow them to maneuver you, this direction, that direction. Speak about this and speak about this. On the one side is the financial assistance for the government, and then you allow them to maneuver you. So not a cent, and everything was sent back. So that the independence is maintained. Independence is not lost. Now, this is so important that we know this akabir, what did they do? And as long as we follow them, then people's trust and confidence will remain. And when we move away to wealth, this assistance and that government assistance, etc., then the people's confidence also is lost. When it's lost, when we say that they're not following us, why aren't they following us? But are we following our elders? That is what is to be asked. So around the 1930s or 40s, suppose it was around 1930s, Al-Muwaq, Shaykh al-Islam Sahib Rahmatullahi, was appointed by his Ustad, Shaykh al-Hind, to be in Sylhet. And now his Shaykh has passed away, and the successor was the Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi, and Shah Sahib had also left for Darbil. Now there was a discussion as to who is going to replace Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi. And all were unanimous, all were agreed, the Shaykh al-Islam was filling the void. Now the Shaykh al-Islam was such that, see, we quote them, the Akabir's Tariqah, then we should be embarrassed within ourselves. Are we truly representing them? Are we just taking their names out of convenience? That is something that is very, very pertinent. Anyway, the Shaykh al-Islam turned down the whole offer, and he says, my Shaykh, my Ustad, had appointed me to be here. Upon which Maulana Ahmad Sahib, known as Hafiz Ahmad Sahib, he says, you know, Darul Deoband is in a state of desperation. Now, if you want to leave this now, and this thing collapses, then we'll hold you responsible for the Yahya. There was some cries at the time, but no answer for that. So he was heavily in politics, and the idea was to get the Islam recognized and indemnity for the Muslims to practice the deen without any interference. So he won't accept any type of financial assistance and no government recognition, absolutely nothing. So his whole idea to be there was to give the government a direction not to take from them. If the government has to say lockdown, then we're not going to listen to you. They're going to say virus and inoculation, we're not going to listen to you. We will stand our grounds, no matter what it causes, we'll stand our grounds. So he was called, and in this time it is very limited. Chairman Bakr. He was called, and then because it was a grand occasion, so he had to have a jalsa and he had to give an address. So he said that there can be three reasons for a person to be motivated. One is wealth. Darulum, what can it offer me? At that time, when I was looking at the wage, it was about 30 to 50 or 60 rupees. It is around in the time of the English, they had offered me about 50,000 yearly. My only job was not to speak out against the English. When I defied them, I sent them back. And my whole mission was to speak out against the government. Now, we need to see, we take our Kabir's name, and are we the true representatives of the crime of our Kabir? Are we just taking the names out of convenience? Not a penny, send it back. They gave me so much. My only job was just to keep quiet, not to speak out against the English, and return it back. The second reason for motivating a person is, I frighten you. I scare you, right? So what weapons Darul has got that he can scare me off? The bombs and the guns could move me, and how can Darul can ever move me and scare me? And the third reason to motivate a person is love, affinity, and faithfulness. Yes, I do have a great love for the madrasa, for the founders, for the people that are in the Darul, have a great affinity. It is just their love, it is just their muhabbat, the muhabbat for this madhira ilmi, al-tamita, that has brought me here. So, we need to see what was their mindset. We were talking about the Shaykh Uddin Rahmatali and the question, that what was the reason for founding the Darul Deoband? I think I got one of it. Homeless. So he says, I found the Shaykh Uddin Rahmatullahi in seclusion. At that time, his home was somewhere near the masjid. So I found him in seclusion and I asked him, what was the actual purpose for founding this madrasa? So he says the actual purpose was, in 1857, when we were defeated at the hands of the English, right, to cover up for that defeat. That was the actual purpose. Uski talafi ke liye. So we got it at the hands of the English, although we gave them as well, but we caught it, defeated, right? So to cover up for that, this madrasa was founded. So thereafter, people branched off, someone, madrasa, etc. So not opposing them. I don't speak out against them and not opposing them. But as far as I know, used to call his Ustad Hazratul Ustad, you know. My Hazratul Ustad, this was not the purpose for founding this madrasa. So any effort that is required, right, to cover up for that loss, in this day, every effort that is required to cover up for that loss, it becomes our duty now to join that. Not just a traditional thing, only the traditional teach, right? They say, I'm not opposing them. But that was not the actual reason for founding the madrasa. The actual reason was shikast khai gayi. Now we were defeated. Now how do we cover up for that? So now he says thereafter, and I will remain on this right to my death. We shall further Anwar Shah Kashmir Rahmat Bali, walking library, right? Talk about his ilm, his academic levels, etc. Once he's read something and his memory is preserved his memory sometimes for 40 years or 50 years, just one reciting. He says, I don't want anything. What I want is a little bit of Kashmiri tea, some one, two biscuits, and give me a horse and a spear. But the statement is a reflection of his mind, what type of earth he requires, what he wants. Although the khidmat of ta'lim and ta'allum is very great, the talab al-ilm, right? This one I quoted. It's so great, you can't find a replacement for it. But that ilm is a vehicle to an end. Ilm is great, very great. Like wuzu is a vehicle to an end. So then you can't discount it. But then just to get stuck there and do nothing, I just end up with more advice. We had on Mola Ismail Mehta. So he was based in Tongat, and thereafter he moved on to Palok after he passed away. So he advised the young ulama-i kiram, you see, you are working at a madrasa and you're getting a remuneration for the work that you are doing, right? But what work have you done for Islam without any remuneration? They would say, see, the Jamaat people, isn't it something for us to take a lesson that how committed they are? No remuneration, but now you see someone and he's doing his 40 days every year. Gash is pabandon. He doesn't miss out that gash. Not a single day. Doesn't miss it out. Then Allah Ta'ala lets them lead their life. They're talking of some Jamaat just came back from Zambia. One man, for 40 years, he never missed out his 40 days, his gush, and always willing to help, with humility. Allah gave him a death at Tahajjud, but he's in Namaz on a Friday. So, J.C. Karni, how are you going to be doing? That's going to be your end. So we need to choose. 3 hours, 5 hours, we're giving at the madrasa, obviously, we have to continue. But on our own individual capacity, what are we going to be doing? Some gush, some tabligh, or some privately, because elders were teaching someone, as was discussed in the morning. We have an adult class every week. Not that just randomly we're doing, no, dedicated. I mean, complain so much of jahalat, tasveer, all these things. But do we take this initiative to go and conduct classes and apprise people what's going on? Before I just quote one hadith, you know, close this up. In the ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنْهُمُ اللَّهُ. Those who cause pain to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they are the target of Allah Ta'ala's curse. وَمَنْ يَلْعَنِ اللَّهُ. When Allah curses someone, then nobody can help. Nobody can do it. I'm seeing now that the seed, all right, what amounts to the ida and causing pain to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul. But the Quran Sharif is a law, right? And the law will be explained by the hadith. So there are three, four actions that will bring pain. One is shirk. Yu'dini ibn Adam, yaqulu, man causes pain to me, right? And he says that the times are very bad. Whereas anadhan, I am the time, I change things up. So attribute it to Allah Ta'ala, the doings, the events, Allah Ta'ala. And some problems and attribute it to our mistakes. Except our mistakes, we are to be blamed as well. It's easy to blame this one and that one. But how many times do we assume the blame ourselves? Number two is that person who insults the Sahaba al-Kiram and the righteous. You don't mean to be blamed this way. Al-Adha al-Waliyan, Sahaba al-Kiram, the pious and the righteous, to hurt them, to cause pain to them. So that throws you out from Allah Ta'ala's court as well. And the third thing that I see in the sea, that photography, that is also a means of causing pain to Allah Ta'ala. And I understand, causing pain, Allah Ta'ala is throwing up. Now you're going to make ta'wil, this person said that and that. What we need to understand is, the first point of reference is the Quran, then the hadith, then the ijma, and then the qiyas. Not he said first, and then the Quran Sharif says this. What the Quran Sharif says, what the hadith says. The hadith is giving a blanket ruling against photography. And on this now we're giving an interpretation, this person said that, and this person said that. I say, are we being fair to the hadith? Allah save us, and let us be on the path of our elders.